Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, all my sisters. Bless you. Bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. I pray you can hear me. Let's get some sound checks as usual. You know the routine. Hallelujah. I don't know if the routine will ever change. You know, we're going to give our greeting, give our sound checks, give our acknowledgments, sometimes some news, and roll off into another show. Welcome, sister, sister. Thank you to everyone listening from many, many miles away, countries away, as Pastor says, across the pond, to all the other countries. There's many of you, over 25 of you listening to our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's very humbling. Hallelujah. I'm a part of a great, great body of believers who walk in faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer's with me tonight. Let's jump to Georgia. Let's get a sound check, Mother.
Bless you, Sister Ashley. Shalom and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here again for another episode of Sister to Sister. Thank you all for taking time out of your day to just sit and listen and learn with us. Looks like we've got tens rolling in the chat room, Sister Ashley, and when you're ready, we can move forward.
Hallelujah. 10 days until I'll see some of you, maybe even 9 or 8 days. I think our earliest guest comes on the 1st of June. That's coming up really, really quickly. And our count at dinner today was 432. We probably had around 386 total until I think Pastor had invited some brethren and some more people to come out to work. So it's going to be an honor to feed you all, and hopefully you'll have a wonderful experience. I love Pentecost. It's actually one of my favorite feasts. I mean, but what feast do we not enjoy, right, when we're all able to come together? I actually hope and plan to spend time with the Goshen Saints. Hallelujah. Now, they might be, Mother, in the chow hall every night, all night, but if they're ever hanging at their tents, I'm there. It's something I've committed to doing feast after feast and never done it, so I'm putting it out there. And it's okay if it doesn't happen. Hallelujah. But we have those things that we look forward to. Look forward to the Most High, His presence, His anointing. And I give all praises and honor and glory to Him for leading us. I welcome Him tonight in our conversation, hoping that He'll do His work with His people. Hallelujah. And never, ever stop what He promises to finish as He molds each of us. Mother Jennifer, please give your acknowledgments.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to first and foremost acknowledge honor to the Most High Yah for his faithfulness to us and for keeping us, for his loving commitment towards us. Just really thinking about the Sabbath message and, you know, talking about honor and how the Father has really placed an order that he set before us that we can follow so that we can establish the proper honor and honor him through honoring his people. It's a privilege to just be able to learn who he is and to learn how to love him by learning how to love and honor his people. So I'm just so thankful to be able to be taught under this ministry that he gives the wisdom to us so that we can obey him and walk in his ways. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his commitment and his leadership and his example that he has given his family. It's an honor to be a part of his family. It's an honor to have an identity and to know who I am because of him and because of his example and because of his leading and because of his teaching. For me to understand and know that I do not belong to myself. I remember the days when, you know, there was literally no hope because I was off on my own, belonging to myself, doing my own thing, and was just truly in a world of destruction. So it's wonderful to be a woman who is led by a man, a strong man, a man of Yah who truly has a compassion and a love in his heart to follow the vision of the Most High. And finally, to our shepherd, a man of Yah who my lead, my head, my elder, my husband can follow with true integrity, a man who has no hypocrisy in him. And, you know, to really look at the people that he's led over the years, not just, you know, starting with Straightway, but, you know, looking at his whole life of integrity. And now we are in a position where we are now because of the leading of Pastor Dial and him loving the people and him loving Yah first. So bless you, Pastor, for your example and for the example of your entire family. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. All praise of the Most High Yah for everyone who is an example to me in my life. I do have them, and I thank him so much for teaching me how to honor one step at a time. I'm thankful for every community that is, you know, escaping out of the world and going to be a little sanctuary, you know, tested and tried and true. I'm thankful for the vessels of the Most High Yah, Deacon Bell, the vessel of the Most High Yah, you know, to really learn him and to learn his mind because we are so different. Wow, what a plan, you know, from the Most High Yah. And I know that I would not have made it into the kingdom without my husband, period. And, you know, to learn how to desire my husband's will, in the early years I really fought for it, fought to gain his will, you know, fought to think like him and fought to learn his mind and now it's my nature, and I really admire the things that are really him that's in me. Appreciate the provisions that we have as a ministry. I'm a weaker vessel, you know, first and foremost. I'm a woman, and I'm a weaker vessel. I have my vulnerabilities and my weaknesses. We have our, you know, past fears, anxieties, and insecurities and things that we have to conquer. And for me, no matter how much pain or trial or fire it has taken to accomplish the amount of peace that I truly have in my being, it is because of the provisions. It's because of, you know, I have a great leader. I have a great shepherd. I have guidance through my own Ruach, the Holy Spirit inside me. I have friends now. I have sisters. I have, you know, children who've never been hungry. And those voids begin to be filled. And as a woman, you really do begin to enjoy life, hallelujah, and be satisfied. And I give the Father all praise and glory for his feast, for Pentecost coming up, for, you know, all the groceries and provisions that are provided for by this community, all the meals that I've ever eaten from the first until today. I'm very, very thankful. Hallelujah. Hey, I got a grateful heart today, and I could go on and on, but I believe that's enough. Let's kick off our conversation and just move forward. Blessings again, a double honor to all age women listening in tonight and anyone who is, you know, hours away but yet staying awake or waking up very early to listen to our show. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. To those who labor in the word and indeed, bless you all. Double honor to the elders and the heads of communities. I know in part what it's like and the burden that you bear, and it can't be shared with anyone who's never lived it, that's for sure. And bless you to everyone living the name and calling on the name Straightway Ministry, but following Jesus Christ the Messiah. Brother Jennifer, 10 days left. Any announcements about Pentecost? Anything going on your end?
I can't think of any announcements. I just want to say thank you to you, Sister Ashley, and Mother Carol for the communication that you've put out for you know, the community heads and, you know, the wives of the community leaders, and so that we can help you all and we can get everything together that we need, the communication and the logistics. They have been perfect. So thank you so much.
Hallelujah. You're very welcome. You know, every one of you would do it for me. And with Pentecost coming up, we have the grocery list and the chore list and the phone calls and the polos and all the organizing, and it really, really goes well. You can't get around the hours that it takes. But it goes so smooth when you're working with such a diligent and mature people. You know, everyone you call is going to say, I got you. You know, what can we do for you? What can we do for the hub? And, you know, the communities we work with are really just, there's nothing like them. You know, the men that lead them, that lead the women that I contact, have the mind of Christ, the mind of our pastor, and it's a oneness like no other. Really, really appreciative. If you haven't called in, you know, newsflash. If you haven't called in to let us know you're coming, hey, let us know. You never know when you're just one person, but the one person might really be 50 callers that day. And when you're getting down to 10 days left, it's a crunch. So, hey, let's make it happen. There's no cutoff or no date cutoff that's been announced. So please let us know. Mother will be making probably two more rounds of grocery runs. And we'll be ready. We'll be ready to serve you. We couldn't do it without the communities pulling together, without the women who pull their teams together. Thank you all to each of you who serve the head sister of any community. Thank you so much for, you know, helping her and not making it a burden, because she's simply just doing something that she also is asked to do. And we get a lot accomplished. I've always said you could hire us to do anything. You could send us anywhere, and we would conquer any job as a people. I really do believe that. Yah's Spirit's upon us. So blessed be his holy name. Hey, tonight we have two emails, so we're going to do it like this. Are you ready, Mother Jennifer, to kick it off?
I'm ready. Can you, before we start, can you update us on the weather, Sister Ashley, for those staying in tents?
It rained today and yesterday, and it was beautiful the week before that, but cloudy. All right, so far, 60s and 70s. Yeah, go ahead, hit the weather. Share it in the chat room, too. Seth, if I see it, I'll read it, because I don't know the temps like you would. She's going to pull it up.
It's still going to be 80s.
80s all week. 80s all week. Possibly thunderstorms and rain next 5th, 6th, and Shabbat. So let's pray that forward, right? Gosh, or back. We enjoy ourselves even in the rain, but most definitely you guys have to set up your tents and take them down and sleep through it and walk through it. So praise the Father, whatever he sends to us. It's a good test for us not to murmur, you know, and I truly don't hear it, you know. I really don't. It never comes to my ears from any of you. You always have such a great spirit. I appreciate that. I'm sure for some it may challenge you, but Tennessee weather. Right now we haven't had any cold days. It's been chilly in the mornings. You need a long sleeve or a hoodie or a jacket, and by, you know, noon or even earlier, you've taken it off and you're in a t-shirt. So most definitely have those layers ready. Bring lots of water. I don't know if you've ever pondered the process of water for the saints at a feast, but it's actually very time consuming. Of course, costly, but that's not an issue because we provide for the saints with a willing heart. But it takes a team of us. I usually work with Brother Ron in Clarksville, who takes his brothers and really delegates how many jugs they're going to bring. They pick them up and bring them. We've been doing that already. And so they fill them. Everything that you get, everything you drink is distilled water. And Marshayla is faithfully, her and her son, going continually throughout the weeks to bring on her end. So between Ron and Marshayla, we keep a count, and we have to have a certain number at many multiple locations, you know, from the shop for the coffee to the shop for drinking containers, you know, so you can walk by and fill your water up or your container up, to the water at the dining hall down the hill, water at the chow hall for both meals, water at the pavilion for those down the hill. So you have 5 or 6 locations. We have a team. This recent year we had a great team, Josh Westmoreland, Isaiah, and a few others. Of course, Marshayla, Ron. So you have a pickup and drop-off location. You have a gather the empty jugs and take them into town to refill them halfway through the feast. It's a big thing. And water in itself is like working a whole menu, you know. So praise y'all that it all comes together. But anytime you can also bring your own, you know, it helps out. I know prices are just soaring, and I don't know how long, and I'm just speaking, you know, loosely, but I don't know how long we'll always be able to meet together. I pray that we are, you know, but I can foresee a time where it just might not be practical as things, you know, come upon us that we can only project and talk about, you know. But hey, every feast, like, it's, you know, live it like it's your last, hallelujah, and thankful for the provisions amongst the communities when you come together and you live with one pot and you're actually able, you know, to really bless when you come, give when you come, and get all the saints here with travel, with gas expenses, et cetera. It's truly beneficial to when you sacrifice and give up your life, man, y'all just blesses you 100-fold. Do you agree, Mother Jennifer?
I definitely agree, Sister Ashley. It really is an honor just to be amongst the people of Yah. You know, there's a lot of new communities popping up. A lot of people who are buying land under the Straightway umbrella, and it really it's an honor to be able to speak with those individuals once they have gotten onto community, once they've come together, because, you know, you just start learning things that are just on a whole different level. And there's a bond that you share that, you know, it just can't be described, but you really start learning more and more about yourself when you put yourself in that position of just really giving all. And, you know, when you go to the feast, you're already in that mode of giving all. There's just a different mindset that you have when you live with the people of Yah. Sister Ashley?
It's true. Hallelujah. I pray that you are all able to continually humble yourself. You're going to, you know, Yah is cleaning us and purging us at what I call rapid speed. There's just no way we're going to make it into his righteous kingdom if he don't keep the foot on the pedal. You know, he's got a short period of time, and he knows his days, and he's not going to take the foot off the gas just because of your sorrow and your emotions or how you feel or because of your flesh. As I always say, and I quote Pastor when he said, you can tell what Yah thought about flesh by what he did to his own son, what he allowed to the flesh of his own son, right? It was not ever pleasurable for the Messiah, but Yah had a, wow, just a spirit and a mind that had to take place. So I thank the Father, you know, just for not releasing his foot from the gas because of our weaknesses, our softness, our laziness, our passivity, the I can't take it, the, you know, all the moments that you might have where you want a so-called break, right? You want a break, but it's not coming. It's not coming. Hallelujah. Hey, let's kick off our conversation. I got a clip, at least one for the night, maybe three. Great message, Pastor Dal, Sabbath Service 5/21/2022. This was last Shabbat, a message about honor, one of my favorite topics, one of my favorite growing areas, just something that I meditate and ponder on a lot is honor. And we got a really good email. So the way we'll do it, Mother Jennifer, is I'll play this clip, and then I'm going to ask you the questions off of this email, just you and only you. I'm not going to give any feedback. And then if you don't mind, if you can go to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, get that email, and it's titled Honor Questions, and then you kick those questions back to me, and you can ask me. Okay, so I'm going to ask you first. Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Hallelujah. All right, there's many, many different clips that I could have picked just to introduce this wonderful message, and I'm meaning his message. So I wanted to share this small clip with you. It's just a small soundbite of the reason why we're communicating the way we are and to also reference this email off of, this email that was asked or sent to us, and these questions that we're going to read tonight were based off of this Sabbath service. Welcome, Tammy. Bless you. Well, who's in my audience? You and only you?
Me and Sakina.
Sakina and Tammy. Let me get a big shalom.
Shalom.
Me and my two. Hallelujah. And to everyone else gathered in your homes, bless y'all. All right, here we go. We kick it off about a five-minute clip from our shepherd. Please always give sound checks. Sakina pays close attention to those and then does any adjustments that we may ever need. And we'll be right back.
So we have to ask ourselves, in what way, still till today, do you dishonor your head and the one above him? Are you making any sense? Hypocrites. Yes, Eliyahu rightfully prophesied about you saying, this people draw near to me with their what? And respect, or they honor me with their what? Lips, but their what? Heart is what? Far from me. And you know that that's the standard operating procedure of this generation today? People live like this, flattering with words. Here's what he quoted from. Yes, Eliyahu 29:13. Wherefore the master said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. In other words, they have more respect for the teachers today than they do the Father. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for the as teaching the commandments of men. See, if you have accomplished something in his life, if you have accomplished something in his life, you're just not going to let anyone who has accomplished nothing to come and take control of what you have built and learned. Young fools. You ever heard me make this statement before? Young fools. You're right in your own eyes until you get it. Look at y'all. Ain't that right? Ain't you usually 100% right until you get it? Who can tell you something if you're always right? Uh-oh. brethren, trading words, making mouths at. If somebody's trying to tell you something and instruct you, especially if you know their footprint, their manner of life, and the way they carry themselves, chances are they're trying to tell you something that you don't know, but you're going to fight against that, though, ain't you? You're going to defy that, though, ain't you? You're going to give them all your 20 years of wisdom. You're going to give them what you know. Are y'all listening? Here in America, and the church people do not know how to show honor and respect. I would personally tell you that if you're over 50 years old, you do not have to submit to someone else's opinion or theory about life or anything. Now, I'm not saying don't listen if the people have a valid point. Am I making sense? All right. Social media and the mainstream news has literally made shipwreck of what true honor and respect is. Everybody has an opinion, and they all believe it's valid. Hear me. But I am not hearing you because I can't. Why? Because I do not have the experience. But you still need to hear me. Most of us really function and believe your preference is above all. With some of you, your preference has become the word of God. Example. Are y'all there or y'all just looking? Isaiah. Y'all, my three Isaiah, come on up here. Let me give you an example, okay?
Hallelujah. All right. Mother Jennifer, I played just a short clip. So before I ask you any questions, would you like to give any feedback from that clip from Pastor Dow?
You know, when Pastor brought up how we are right in our own eye until we get it, it is so true. You know, he says, who can tell you something if you're always right? And I remember, Sister Ashley, when we first started this community here, and we used to receive visits from Mother Carol. It was actually Sister Carol during that time, but it would be Sister Carol and or Mother Carol and Mama Nellie. And I remember having, you know, trouble with the budget for the menu. And I remember Mother Carol looking at me and saying, you know, you need to take over the menu, and you need to do the menu, and that way you have more control over what you're spending. And I didn't take heed to what she said. And I remember them coming back again a couple months later, and I remember Mother Carol looking at me again saying the same thing. And she said, you need to take over the menu. You need to put the menu together. And I was about to give an excuse, and I remember right at that time I really felt convicted because she had told me this before, and I didn't take heed. So at this point, I'm wasting the time of, you know, Pastor Dow's wife. I'm literally wasting her time. And so the conviction really hit me, and I just said, yes, ma'am, you're right, and I definitely will make those changes. And since I made those changes, everything has been going perfect. But, you know, in my own eye, I was right. I thought that I was doing something that was right, and nobody could tell me anything because, you know, I was so young to the faith. There was a level of ignorance in me in that area, and Yah really had to convict my heart to really listen and to not waste her time. And listening to the wisdom that she gave me, things have gone very well, even to this day. Sister Ashley?
A very good example. I hope you have more to share. Here comes the email written and sent today. Coming from the Shabbat message about honor, I'm sending some general questions. Can you explain, and here's your first one, Mother Jennifer, can you explain how you learned how to honor?
Yes, ma'am. You know, learning how to honor, let's say, when we first came in and we saw that the people at Straightway, the people who started the community, the people who pastored out called up in front of the assembly on Sabbath, you know, when we got there, I realized that, okay, these are the people who have been following the man of Yah. And the man of Yah is the one who's led these people out of, you know, out of the world, pretty much. And I understood and I knew these are the people that I need to follow. I need to understand what they're doing because what they're doing is working. And so honor came from the realization that I knew nothing, that I knew nothing at all, and I needed to learn whatever I could learn from them. Honor starts when you realize that you know nothing. But if you always think that, you know something, that you have something to add, well, let me speak, you know, instead of just sitting quiet and really listening and not making yourself grievous or not making yourself a nuisance to those who deserve honor, you know, there's just a level of respect that should be given to them. I want to read something. I'm sorry. If I can find it, I want to read something. It's in Sirach, and it talks about how, you know, if you're in the presence of somebody great, how you should behave yourself. So it's Sirach 32, and I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, if thou be among great men, make not thyself equal with them. And when ancient men are in place, use not many words. So when you have the understanding that you're in the presence of somebody great, somebody that can teach you something, you don't view yourself as being equal with them, you know, and you understand that, okay, these are the people who have tenure. They have tenure in the ministry. They know a lot more than I do. They've been tested. They've been proven. I'm just coming into this thing. I need to know how I get to the point of you know, being faithful like them. So I don't need to compare myself to them as equal. I'm not on their level. I'm not equal. I want to get to their level. But, you know, make not yourself equal. So that is something to just really remember on getting you to the point of knowing how to honor. Sister Ashley.
Thank you for the wisdom. Number two says, for example, how did you learn how to honor the man of Yah in a world that embraces feminism, Mother?
I learned that feminism, Sister Ashley, is nothing but a deep, dark pit. Feminism is, when you've come out of feminism, a world that embraces feminism, it's the thing that you want to run far away from. I remember having Pastor Dow on a broadcast years ago, and I remember asking him a question of, you know, for women who have come out of the world and they're in the ministry now, how do they shed that old woman? And I remember his answer. He said, number one, first and foremost, you have to forget every bit of that old woman, the nature of the old woman that you were. So most of us were wrapped up in feminism, the old woman was, you know, because that's what America teaches is feminism. So that was the thing that I knew that I had to run far away from. So for me, it was easy to let go of feminism. And then you start to learn the subtle things about what feminism tries to teach you, you know, the subtle ways that you can actually dishonor and disobey. And that subtle manipulation, you know, you learn how to attack those subtle things that try to go undetected. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Next one. Mother Jennifer, what was the process like first coming to community and learning how to honor each other, also learning how to honor women and especially mothers? I'm going to say it again. What was the process like first coming to community, learning to honor each other, learning how to honor women and especially mothers?
I'm going to say it was a mess. Sister Ashley, it truly was a mess because as women, we didn't understand and know how to trust each other. You know, we were all new at this. The good thing is that we had deliverance. We had an understanding of deliverance, and we all literally just had a, you know, we rolled our sleeves up and we just got into deliverance together. We learned it together. So it was a mess, but it was actually beautiful because we were able to put ourselves in a position to help one another, to overcome the distrust, you know, to overcome the pointing of the finger, the accusations, the things that, that women go through. And without a good support that we had in Elder Rufus to really call things out between women because, you know, he understands the nature of women, without him calling those things out and without him really showing support, we would not have made it. Without having a strong head, it is very difficult to make it, especially having so many women coming out of the world not wanting to trust one another, not even knowing how to love each other, not even wanting to forgive each other, holding on to wrongs. You know, it really takes a strong head to point you in the right direction continually, almost every day, literally. Sister Ashley?
Good answers, Mother. Thank you. Next one. What does honor look like on a daily basis?
On a daily basis would be dying to yourself daily, knowing that if there is someone that is in a position that knows more than you, you submit yourself to that. If they ask you something, then you you offer up whatever they're asking for. But it literally takes you dying to yourself, laying down your own will, laying down your own mind, your own thoughts. And, you know, you really have to be in touch with the Spirit of Yah, because there's one Spirit. So if we're all on the same page with Yah's Spirit, then you're not going to make it that difficult. But it's really about dying to yourself every single day, every moment. Sister Ashley.
All right, next one. If you are off land, and for anyone who's listening, we call someone who is off land just someone who travels often to the land, but doesn't actually abide on the land. So they are a great part of the body, especially those who are off land around me and around us. They're a huge part of who we are. They are us, you know, just with a different house, you know, at a different process. So she's speaking and saying, if you are off land, possibly someone who is off land, traveling, coming often, how do you learn how to honor the land? How do they? So how do they learn how to honor the people who live on the land and honor you, Mother?
I think part of that, Sister Ashley, is really when people live off land and they come to the land to help, you allow them to be a part of whatever you're doing. So allow them to be a part of, if they're able, be a part of the homeschool program. Allow them to be a part of the cook days. Allow them to be a part of whatever cleanup, you know, allow them to be a part of gardening. When you allow them to be a part of those activities, then they understand and they see, okay, I'm Israel. This is the place where Yah has placed his name, and this land belongs to me too. Even though I don't live here, you should still look at it as, you know, it belonging to you, so that you can take care of it just as you would take care of your own. So there's an ownership that happens. If you walk by a piece of paper in your home, hopefully you would pick it up. You know, when you're on the land, you walk by a piece of paper. Hopefully you would do the same and pick it up. So there has to be an ownership that takes place mentally in the mind, and understanding that even though I don't live here, this still belongs to me. Sister Ashley?
If you notice, she answered a question that says, how do you learn how to honor the land as an offlander? Mother answered it by saying her community honors them first, if you caught that. So you actually teaching them honor by giving them honor, and then it's reciprocated because they learn how to honor the land. It's a beautiful process. Good answer. Next one is, how can you teach honor to your children?
You'll teach honor to your children because they're going to watch what you do. You can speak it over and over and over again, but if you're not showing honor, they're going to do exactly what you do. They're going to mimic your behavior. So you can't be hypocritical. If you're talking about honor, then you literally have to live it. They're going to definitely follow your example. So what they see is what they're going to do. Sister Ashley?
And last one on this email is, how are we expected to honor the ministry's name? And she's speaking as a whole, as women, as sisters. How do you, Mother Jennifer, believe that each one is expected to honor the ministry's name?
This is a really good question, and I'm glad it was asked. Honoring the ministry's name is literally whenever you go somewhere outside of the land, or even whether you're on the land, if you're on social media, wherever you are, you need to know that you represent Yah first and foremost. And in that, you represent the ministry. So let's say you're going grocery shopping and, you know, you're paying for your items. It doesn't do you any good to actually be rude to the people, because you're representing the ministry. You're representing Yah. They know you're different by the way that you're dressed. They know that there's something different about you. But if you're representing Yah in a negative way, you know, what good is that going to do the ministry, and what good is that going to do Yah? You're misrepresenting him in a false negative way. So it's always good to represent him based on his character and not your own flesh. You have to remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, that you're always representing him. I have heard of people going places and, you know, just getting preachy, getting religious. And, you know, our shepherd doesn't do things like that. He just doesn't. And he's our shepherd, so he has a right to interact with the people any way he wants to. But it doesn't help anybody if you're spewing off all of these Bible verses, you know, but your character doesn't match the word of Yah at all. So if you're not going to represent the ministry in a positive way, then, you know, if people ask you, because I get people who ask a lot, they'll say, are you Muslim? And I'll say, no, ma'am, I'm not. I'm Hebrew Israelite. And they'll ask if I'm connected with a ministry. And I let them know I'm connected with Straightway. But you don't want to have a negative representation out there, and people are asking, what ministry are you with? Who are you with? You know, just so they'll stay far away from it, because you've represented the ministry in a negative way. Sister Ashley?
Good job answering the questions, Mother Jennifer. I enjoyed your feedback, not knowing which way you would go. I'm sure if I ask you the questions all over again, you might have even different answers. Just depends on, you know, how the Spirit is moving through you at the time. I appreciate the level of maturity of those that I reach out to for any feedback or emails. Last week, if you remember, we read an email from a very mature sister about the transformation that she had between caring for her children initially and early on as a young mother, and then now. And there was a huge difference between the frustration that she dealt with in the beginning, and the anger and the attitudes, or all the emotions that she had to fight through, and then the overcoming victory. And it's someone that I personally have known this story for years, and, you know, I've helped her even with deliverance and watched her excel. And she's an overcomer, you know, by nature. It's really beautiful. And so knowing those people in my life, and even for this show, it really helps us to form shows, and I appreciate it. So you don't know how much your growth is effective, or your story, when it might come into play. That's definitely not the goal, that everyone, you know, get their story on the show. But at the same time, when you want to glorify the Father, it'll make it here. And knowing the level of maturity of those that I reached out to for feedback and for questions today, I appreciate this, sister, and I thank you so much. I'm going to put it back on you, Mother Jennifer, if you don't mind turning around and asking me questions. And believe it or not, it was easy for me not to give any feedback. It was very easy, Mother Jennifer, to just listen. Hallelujah. I didn't have anything to add to yours, but I'm sure I'll go another way at times. I did have, you know, some verses and stuff pop up in my mind when I was reading it. So please ask me the questions. I believe there's 7 of them. And thank you once again, everyone, for your time.
Yes, ma'am. This particular sister, she starts off by saying, how do you repair a relationship that has never been good? I'll repeat one more time. How do you repair a relationship that has never been good? Sister Ashley?
All right, so my mind goes to our Messiah, okay? In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Most High Yah had come upon me, it says, because Yah hath anointed me to do all these things. What were they? I'm going to preach good tidings to the meek, okay? I'm going to be sent to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm going to proclaim liberty to everyone who is captive. I'm going to literally open up prisons to those that are bound. I'm going to proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Most High Yah and the day of vengeance, and I will comfort all that mourn. But it also says they, okay, as a body, will be appointed or given beauty for ashes, oil for joy, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a trade-off that we will be called trees of righteousness, that the Most High Yah may be glorified. It's all for him, that you would testify of him, and you would be free because of him, because he said he would do it. And it also says that they, as a people, will build old waste places, that they will raise up former desolations, they will repair waste cities and desolations of many, many generations. So when she says, how do you repair a relationship that has never been good, I say, the Spirit of Yah must be upon you. It must be upon you. It must be in you. Because the answer could literally be 1,000 different things. Concretely, but just giving you that initial thinking or initial thought, you know, with Isaiah and our Messiah, that it is a must. If the Spirit of the Most High Yah is upon you, then it is possible to repair any relationship that has never been good, because he does it, you don't, right? So when you ask, how do you repair a relationship that's never been good, you don't. He does, his Spirit. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Next question. How do you straighten out the way you communicate and start building instead of tearing down one another? Sister Ashley?
All right. How do you straighten out the way that you communicate and start building instead of tearing one another down? I'm assuming this is obviously two sisters or two women that need to straighten out their communication and start building instead of tearing one another down. I would suggest to you that you would meet her needs first. If you meet her needs first, you fulfill Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. I'm going to give you a verse that Mother Carol taught me early on, not only by lifestyle, you know, and what she was speaking, but literally what she was walking out and living out. It says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Pause for a second. Now, if you read the King James Version or any version of the Bible that says enemy, you're obviously thinking someone that's completely opposing to you, maybe someone even of the world, maybe someone in the family, maybe someone who, you know, completely disagrees with you. But in this instance, it's literally someone who you hate. So it doesn't necessarily mean someone in a far-off location. It could be someone within your tribe or your family or your community. If your person that is hated be hungry, you give him bread to eat, and if he's thirsty, you give him water to drink, and you meet his needs. Now, everyone doesn't receive needs. Everyone doesn't receive you, right? Because you just caused a huge breach, and this relationship is faulty, partly because of you, partly because of her, okay? But it says, Proverbs 25:22, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. and the Most High Yah shall reward you. What does that mean? You continue to do good, and you continue to honor, and you meet that person's needs first. There's no limitation on your reward, because you're doing it because of your love for the Father. You're giving and giving and giving without end, without expectation, without someone else reciprocating it. You're doing good unto all men. I hope that helps you, because I'm not going to go into, okay, she doesn't receive your bread when she's hungry and your water when she's thirsty. That's a whole nother show. Initially, with the Spirit of Yah upon you, you will find a way to meet her needs emotionally, physically, spiritually, starting even with praying for her, whatever it takes. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Very good answer. Number three, how does one forgive and not forget righteously? And is there such a thing? Sister Ashley?
No. How does one forgive and not forget? Suppose, hey, Sakina, is it all right if Jesus go ahead and forgive you but not forget nothing you did, sis? Is that all right?
No.
That's not all right? What's the deal?
No.
Yeah, what's the problem with that? Right, forgetting,
right,
exactly. You know, I think about the priest, for example. You go all the way back, all the way back, 10 generations and before. On that day, what day? Leviticus 16:30. On that day, the priest makes an atonement for you. Great, so now we got the blood. Now we got forgiveness. But he also cleansed you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Most High Yah. Okay, so we not only atoned with the blood and the forgiveness, but we cleansed with a little bit of forgetfulness too. So can you make someone else forget? No. You know, no, you can't. But you can forget. So how does one forgive and not forget righteously? Nah. If there's proper confession to the Father and proper communication to the Father, then now you need to have the healing and the cleansing, and that's part of it. And sometimes it takes deliverance, you know, to bring that about when you have truly with all your heart confessed or forgiven, but you still have something in your memory reminding you over and over and over, and the pain is there, then you could possibly have a spirit of unforgiveness. Pastor did a great live video. This email was just sent today, and it was sent before his live video. So if you haven't seen it, listen to today's live video. Chef, please post it. And it literally is spot on when it comes to unforgiveness. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Next question. It says, how do you remain righteous when you know that you and a sister don't see eye to eye? How do you remain righteous when you know that you and a sister don't see eye to eye? Sister Ashley?
If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, not hers. I've never turned anybody from their wicked ways. Never. Not one time. But I can turn from mine. Then, if I do that, if I what? Humble myself, on repeat, humble myself, you know, then the Most High Yah promises, and I hold him to his promise, Father, you said you would hear from heaven, that you would bow your ear and bow your neck to me when I cry out to you, that I humble myself in this circumstance and situation. I'm not coming to you about her. This is my issue. This is my jealousy. This is my rejection. This is my insecurity. This is my hate. Right? You say you'll forgive my sin and you will heal me. And what does he say? David said, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive my sins. But why did David have to say that? There's constant affliction. There's constant pain. I think a large majority of you will probably fight many years to oppose the suffering and the affliction and the pain of life. And until you embrace it, it's a huge transformation. You literally yield to the process. And not, you know, Yah's got his foot on the gas and you got your foot on the brake. So, hey, look upon my affliction, look upon my pain, look upon me and my sister who don't see eye to eye, and forgive my sins. Because if we forgive, you'll forgive. And that's really what I'm looking for. Because I don't know, you don't know, sister who wrote the email, you don't know what you haven't been forgiven for. And sometimes when we utter our prayers or our cries of forgiveness, we think it's an automatic. It's not. It's a requirement. It's a bloodletting. It's a change, a transformation. It's a lot of expectations. And then at times, hey, you meet the requirement and you have the godly sorrow, then yes, it can be an automatic. You know, so I don't want to startle anyone. It's your process. It's your death, you know, and Yah's going to do it perfectly. How many times are we told, you know, if you forgive not men of their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. I'm terrified of not being forgiven, like terrified. Like if I have any instant moment of, okay, woe unto me when there's an offense, right? Offense tempt me at all. Unforgiveness tempt me at all. Boom, I'm in my mind in 0.5 seconds. You hear me? Releasing them instantly. It wasn't always that easy. I could burn for 2 weeks, you know, or longer prior to the faith, of course. But you got to get that instantaneous forgiveness. You got to get that instantaneous mercy. And that's your own process to learn. Because if you, from your hearts, forgive not everyone who has done anything unto you, then you won't be forgiven. And the Most High Yah says, when you stand praying, if you have an ought against anyone, your Father also which is in heaven will forgive you if you forgive them. I repeat that over and over. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Hallelujah. I think that's enough. What did Mother Bullock used to say? That's all that I have at this time. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Excuse me. Next question. She says, I suppose there may be immaturity and selfishness involved. How does one work around those factors? I've been repeatedly unrighteous in not knowing how to deal with this type of situation, and most times fail due to rejection. And because I have been rejected, I also reject. I'll repeat the question. She said, I suppose there may be immaturity and selfishness involved. How does one work around those factors? I've been repeatedly unrighteous in not knowing how to deal with this type of situation, and most times fail due to rejection. And because I have been rejected, I also reject. Sister Ashley?
All right. Because she's been rejected, she also rejects. That's a common survival mechanism that you have to retrain mentally, as a woman especially, bruised and abandoned or forsaken. You have to retrain that defense mechanism that says, I feel or sense this uncomfortable circumstance or this rejection, so I'm going to be a rejector. You can't convict anyone. You cannot do that. You might think that you can, just because you're continually trying to do right, do right, do right. You know your heart and your meditations of your mind, but everyone outside of you doesn't. Right? So I know my goal. I know who I'm trying to be. But it's conviction that brings great change internally in each of us. So there's not any words or any begging or any petition that you could do that will ever change her, ever. Ever. Maybe you're experiencing a huge letdown because you thought that you could. Maybe you never heard in your mind that you thought you could change her, but you acted out that expectation that you thought you could change her. Okay, maybe you got immaturity, maybe she's got selfishness. Maybe she's got immaturity and you got selfishness. And you repeat this cycle, and like you said, this type of situation, and most times you fail because of your own rejections. But also, you have a oneness, and a one spirit about you two that you probably don't know of, and it's a familiar offense. When you have a familiar offense, if me and Chef got a familiar offense, she wouldn't know it, I wouldn't know it, because I'm in my war, she's in her war, right? But this familiar offense will really generate a lot of energy back and forth between us, a lot of uncomfortable tension, a lot of hate, a lot of anger, a lot of temptations. So there's this oneness and this familiar spirit that you have to sever yourself from by your own victories. So you separate from the things that are in her that you hate because they're in you that you hate, right? And when you do that and you get more sound and more mature, you can actually be in her presence without the immaturity in you, right? Because when someone produces immaturity and it pisses you off, then you're functioning in the same immaturity by your anger, you know? And so you just kind of go back and forth just feeding off of one another. I've never matured any relationship without a huge internal change, you know? And it takes you start at the bottom, you know. You start at the bottom. What is the bottom? That's the godly sorrow that you produced, that godly sorrow that works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of again, even though you repent of it again and again, right? It's the godly sorrow. Sometimes you don't have godly sorrow. You just got the sorrow part, right? Because it's the godly sorrow that brings the change. We got a lot of sorrow, a lot of emotions, a lot of tit for tat, and a lot of going back and forth in immaturity. Like you might spend years crying, but that didn't mean it was godly sorrow. And so, Sirach 37:12 says, "Be continually with a godly man whom you know to keep the commandments of the Most High Yah, whose mind is according to your mind, and who will sorrow with you if you fail and if you miscarry." So you link yourself up with the godly women, godly men, if you can, you know, by any way. And you cannot produce godly sorrow for her. You can't. You got to have it for yourself. Sometimes our expectations for others are truly way too high than they're actually able to have. Sometimes adults' expectations for children are way too high than they can actually produce as a child. So it's to constantly, as adults, practice condensation and coming down, meeting people right where they're at. So if this sister's immature and she's selfish, you can't have a high expectation on her. You can't. She'll never produce the godly sorrow that you're looking for inside of her. It's going to come from inside of you. Hallelujah. Come on, Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Next question. What happens when women really don't want to acknowledge each other's presence and talk around one another when in front of each other? Is it that we are trying to hold on to peace or to the old man? I'll read it again. What happens when women really don't want to acknowledge each other's presence and talk around one another when in front of others? Is it that we are trying to hold on to peace or to the old man? Sister Ashley?
This was difficult, honestly, for me to wrap my mind around. I'll tell you two reasons why, my sisters. I've made great changes in my life, and I just don't recall a lot of the mannerisms that I used to have, but I know at one time I was guilty. And I really don't understand questions that are seen and viewed from your eyes at times because I don't see things that way. And that does not make you wrong. That means who I communicate with or who is in, let's say, my life, I don't have that issue. So I don't have, I don't have an expectation of anyone acknowledging my presence. That sounds like a very high and lofty, statement. And if I'm misreading or misunderstanding, you know, I apologize because honestly, I wanna give you some clarity. If I say to Sakina, hey sis, what's up? You're not acknowledging my presence. You know, that sounds really like what are you expecting, you know? So maybe it was in the wording of your question, but maybe honestly your heart is really like having a high standard of expectations, like I just mentioned earlier, that are higher than people can produce. I've fallen into that before. And it's really hurtful. I'm sure maybe leaders fall into it have high standards and high expectations for their assembly or the people that are under them, and those people continually, you know, are wavering or falling or not meeting that, you know, and then what happens? They have to change, you know. And so same for me. Like, if I've ever had any expectations, I have community expectations that we don't meet. I'm boots on the ground many years, and we do not meet the expectations that I have in my heart for us as a people in every way. But I think that also keeps us moving forward, though. You know, I think we should always have an expectation of something past what we're producing. But, yeah, maybe your expectations of others are higher than they can produce, or what type of acknowledgement are you actually, is your spirit actually demanding? Why I say that is because of rejection. You mentioned your own rejection. And so when you fail or when you have an expectation, your honor is not a stronger force in you than your rejection. And your honor being low and your rejection being high, you're wanting others to honor you because of your rejection.
Right.
Wanting others to honor you above your own self-love. You know? And sometimes when you aren't producing self-love for yourself, you'll have a finger pointed, really wanting it to come from other people. That could even be for a husband and wife, you know. Like if you're feeling rejection from him, and you're dropping your standard of it don't matter if it's cleanliness, standard of holiness, standard of hygiene, whatever you got going on in your life, you make these changes trying to draw attention to yourself. That's how these spirits work, trying to really get, you know, that rejection ministered to. And in those moments when those spirits are working inside of you, demanding honor and respect from people, you're not a producer of it. So it really, really does start with honoring yourself and producing, you know, honor for yourself. I have told many sisters before, don't drop your standard in hygiene or appearance. Take care of yourself, because that's an open door. That's an open door for rejection. And so you want to be stronger. You want to be a stronger force, or have honor, you know, for yourself as a stronger force in you than any rejection. Because if you do, then when you do experience rejections, because you will probably for the rest of your life, it's like, hey, Mama Lily, if she was on the show, Mama Lily, have you experienced rejections for about 86 years? She might say, yes, ma'am, right? But if we are all producers of great honor, then that rejection won't stick. That rejection will not stick with you. It won't torment you. It won't plague you. It won't become a part of you. It won't bind you and limit you in the Messiah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I've got one more question that I accidentally skipped over. It says, if you don't have one mind, how can you truly have one spirit? Sister Ashley?
Oh, let's see. If you don't have one mind, how can you have one spirit? You know, I think it's a, I think it's a desire for everyone that's a part of this ministry to have one spirit, you know, or one mind. But I want to, you know, throw a dart at that balloon and say it's just not practical. Now, the power of the nucleus of the one mind is going to root out a lot of tares and move a lot of people out of the way. That's just how the Father does it. But there's at all times going to be someone there without one mind. I've never had a day on the community without something manifesting against the one mind. So if it happens to you, hey, call in, write another email, you know, let me know. But I'm just meaning in practical application of living community life and striving for one mind, there's a constant opposition. And, you know, it keeps us pressing, it keeps us praying, it keeps us repenting, it keeps us from the I have arrived, you know, but hey, Repeat the question one more time, Mother Jennifer, so I guarantee I didn't get off.
It says, if you don't have one mind, how can you truly have one spirit?
Okay. I think I would say that you got one spirit, all right. It's that familiar spirit I was talking about, you know, that offense and that hate and that anger and that resentment, you know, that's a constant grind. Misunderstanding is a constant grind, and misunderstanding will send people into murmuring in a minute, you know. Judgmentalism and criticism and all those things will send people right down murmuring and complaining. I think it's good that you obviously by your question have a goal to have one spirit and one mind, even with this sister that you're working for. Okay, so let's start at the bottom again. It starts with prayer, and it starts with yourself. You know, you've really grown, even if it hasn't even manifested in the open between you two, you know that you've really, really grown when you've turned your prayers towards her. I remember almost, you know, how I always say the flipping tables, right? I was ready to flip a table. I was so in the spirit. I was so excited that a offense that I had carried could finally, and dealing with myself for long enough on my knees, I could finally ask for mercy for her. If there's somebody in your life that you can't pray for mercy for, then you're definitely holding them in chains. Okay? And so when I got to the point where I could truly heartfelt mean it and say, have mercy, I knew I'd gotten somewhere. And that's the type of fruit that you're looking for internally, because like I said, you can't control the outward manifestation of someone's immaturities or their selfishness or even the flesh that you two may get into. But if you can start on your knees and you can see those beautiful, peaceable fruits manifest, then you know you're onto something. And that's what the grind is about. You know, that's what the fire is about. And hallelujah, bless his holy name that we get to those moments, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. That's all I have, Sister Ashley. This sister does say, she said, I want to add that I know that I am at fault, and I want to fix this once and for all. So that's the end of the email. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We're going to hit a music break. Now we're going to flip it, Mother Jennifer. I'm going to ask you the questions you asked me, and you're going to ask me, did I say that right? We're going to switch emails, dang it. That's the easiest. We're going to switch emails, okay? You ready for that after the music break, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Hey, this is a beautiful song. Thanks to the sister who sent it to me. It's called I'll Pray With You. It's really, really beautiful. If you hear it with the ears of us sisters and really building our relationships, it's also touching as well. Be right back. Thank y'all so much for listening. I hope you've gained something or been able to take something that's going to help you. Here we go. beautiful song, Mother Jennifer. Any thoughts during the break?
No, ma'am. No thoughts. I'm ready to go.
All right. All right, I'm going to ask you some questions, and it's going to be the ones you just asked me off of the email titled Communication and Consideration. Hey, obviously, and maybe you can detect by our answers that we are seasoned. It does not mean that we don't have a perfection process in front of us, but when we give you answers that are seasoned, please respectfully take one step at a time, you know? You're not gonna wake up tomorrow or next Shabbat and fully grasp the process of breaking and molding and producing that we've lived out. It's gonna be the same process, and maybe it won't take you as long, you know. And that'll be a beautiful testimony. So it's not about time, but as they say, you can't walk before you crawl. You know, just be excited that you have some footsteps in front of you. And as the Messiah said, he's a lamp unto our feet. And if you hold a lamp in front of yourself, you can only see one step at a time. You can only see one step at a time. Hallelujah. All right, Mother Jennifer, I'm going to the email you just talked to me about. It's called Communication and Consideration. I like the practical balance that you bring and the concrete examples that you bring. Let's see how your spirit goes. Question number one, you ready?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready.
All right. How do you, Mother Jennifer, repair a relationship that's never been good?
In my mind, Sister Ashley, you know, I'm thinking what made it, quote, never good? What initial event led up to this relationship being labeled as never good? And I would actually start there and work your way to where you are now. Are there a lot of perceived things that have led you to see things in a certain way? And are those perceived things facts? You know, you have to be able to separate the facts from things that are preconceived. So what started it off that makes you believe that it's never been good? And then I would just work from there. Is it that you felt rejected in the beginning? You know, is it true that this sister rejected you in the beginning? You know, just I would always start from the beginning so that you can work your way back to where you are now. And then sort out the facts. You know, always deal with the facts and don't deal with how you feel. When we deal with how we feel, we don't get anything resolved. So you have to be able to really state the facts. You know, have I really shown myself friendly toward this sister? A lot of women, when they come into relationships with other women, you know, they're just broken. And they need to understand and know that, you know, I need to learn how to trust women. But how are they going to be able to trust women if you don't show yourself as a friend? If you're going to do the exact same thing that the world has done, cut somebody off because they don't act or they don't behave the way that you want them to, because they're just not mature or seasoned in an area. Some people just need to be loved more than they hate themselves. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, next one. Mother Jennifer, how do these two sisters straighten out the way that they communicate and start building instead of tearing one another down?
One person has to really resolve in their heart that they're going to be consistent no matter what. You have to be the mature one no matter what. So if I know that I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to be mature, then I'm going to not tear somebody else down. I'm going to understand and come from the perspective that they are hurt, they're broken, they need healing. Broken people will hurt people because they're broken. So you have to be mature enough to know that it's going to take a lot of work, but never, never, ever in your heart just come to the point where you're going to tear somebody down that actually needs to be built up. They might need to be given a level of tough love at times, and they might need to be, you know, really shown what a true sister is at times. You have to know what they need during that time, and you have to be willing to be that, but never to the point of wanting to tear them down. You know, things may not always be easy. Your conversations may not always be easy, but your intent has to be pure in making sure that you're not going to tear that sister down. You want to actually build her up no matter what. Mr. Ashley?
Hallelujah. I imagine, she says, that there is a lot of holding on to past hurts and records of wrongs. And I assume and interject maybe from both sides, of course. But she says, they may think that they have forgiven one another, but they keep the silence alive, which brings forth death to the situation. So I'm going to pause there, Mother Jennifer, and turn that into a question. Does your body and mind prove that death has been brought to the situation? What are the fruits? And I want you to, if you saw Pastor's video live today, maybe come off of that. What's the fruits of bearing these things, these hurts, these records of wrongs in your body? And I talked all over the place, but please try to answer that.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, Pastor repeated several times, just today, but in the past, that our bodies are a barometer to the spiritual realm. So, you know, he talked about illnesses and sicknesses and diseases that take place in the body simply because people have not dealt with basic spiritual matters. Forgiveness is one. He said that one of our biggest hang-ups is that we refuse to forgive. So she talks about, you know, holding on to past hurts and records of wrongs. And Pastor pointed out today, you know, that one of the biggest hang-ups in Israel is we refuse to give. We focus on the fact that we've been injured, we've been slighted, we've been taken advantage of. And so in that manner, excuse me, we try to justify ourselves and we try to justify hurtful actions based on the fact that we've been hurt. And so there's a cycle that just continues. Everybody's holding on to past hurts. Everybody's holding on to records of wrongs. And your body is paying for it because your body is the spiritual, is the barometer to the spiritual realm. Sister Ashley?
Hey, 2 Corinthians 2:5 says, if any have caused grief, he's not grieved me, Paul said. Now think about that. That's a mature statement. He said, but in part, okay, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which is afflicted of many, so that, and I'm trying to read it in a way that it fits, it says, I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him, that you ought rather to forgive him, comfort him. This is 2 Corinthians 2:5 through 2:8. Forgive him, comfort him. Remember we said meet his needs first, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. That's maturity, and that's wisdom. Who's got that kind of humility that says, I would rather do unto her so that she doesn't get consumed or swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, and I will confirm my love towards her, that if she caused me any grief, it's not been done unto me, but in part, so forgiveness would be made easy. Mother Jennifer, good job. So, next one. Question number 4, Mother Jennifer says, how does one forgive and not forget righteously? Is there such a thing?
Sister Ashley, you answered that one perfectly, and I don't think I need to add to that.
Hallelujah. That's just the truth.
You answered that one perfectly.
My goodness.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, well, let me see if I can pull this out of your memory. Has there ever been a time where maybe forgiveness was in your vessel and you wanted to produce it, but you're still burdened by that, you know, that memory or that hurt, Mother Jennifer? What did you do?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I really cried out to the Father. Excuse me, and I asked the Father to truly place a desire for me to forgive in my heart, because, you know, I had to really be honest in my confession and say, Father, you know, I don't have a desire. Like, my will is not to forgive. but I don't want that to be my testimony. I really need you to help me. I really need help with my will. Now, knowing that, you know, I'm the one who has to make up my mind to just overcome my flesh and overcome my will, but I really needed his help. I needed these memories, these things in my mind, these flashbacks of conversations and, you know, things that had taken place. I needed those to go away. So what I did was every time I had a memory that the devil planted in my mind, I remember just out loud really thanking the Father for healing and mending that relationship. Thank you, Father, that that was the path, and thank you that you are healing and mending this relationship. And I did that every time there was a negative thought to get me to think negatively. I would turn it around, and I would thank the Father for what he was restoring, thanking him for the fact that there would be a testimony one day, you know. So every time I had that thought, those that tried to be a negative thought, I would turn it around for good. And then eventually the thoughts just went away because the devil knew that, okay, she's just going to glorify Yah when she has these memories. So he just knew that that was an area that I was not going to submit to anymore. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, that's a good word, mending, right? Thank you, God, for healing and mending and mending and mending and mending that relationship. Always throwing that back at the enemy when negativity comes your way. Well said. All right. Next one. Question number 5. How do you remain righteous when you know you and a sister do not see eye to eye? How do you, Mother Jennifer, remain righteous?
Something else that Pastor brought up today, he talked about, you know, when you're not convicted in your heart that you have made a grave error. And he talked about how David prayed, you know, he prayed and he asked the Most High to search him, you know, to search his heart and to see if there is anything that is unrighteous in him. And a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that it's the other person that is not thinking right, you know, and you might be 100% correct, but you still have to take the path of, okay, Father, if I'm deceived in an area, I need you to reveal it to me. I need to know, instead of walking around, you know, thinking that you're not the one at fault. So what Pastor said about being convicted in your heart, you know, that you have made an error. You just go to the Father and you let him know, I've made an error, Father. Me and this sister, we disagree. There's an error somewhere. I don't want to point the finger at her, so I need you to start with me. I need to know where the error is with me, and I need you to deal with me so that I can get right, so that I can represent you the right way. So that way you remain righteous when you know that you and a sister don't see eye to eye, because what happens is when you go to the Father in humility and you want to really get something right and he starts to change you, he starts to change the way that you're viewing or the way that you're seeing things, you'll notice that as he changes you, you'll say, oh, things have gotten better between me and that sister, when really you're the one that has changed. It's not the other one, it's actually you that have changed. So your perception is no longer off. Now, if the two of you really are at odds, and you know you're just not seeing the same way, then you lead. You know, you lead. You be the example. You be the mature one, and you get down on your knees and really ask the Father to humble you and to show you your error, show you your wrong, and whatever needs to be changed, he will reveal it to you. Sister Ashley.
There's a, I think it's in Prayer of Manasseh. I was asking Chef when right at the end when you were speaking. Think about his prayer. He said, "I humbly beg you, forgive me, O Yah." Think about this coming from your vessel, okay? Forgive me, destroy me not with my iniquities, okay? Think about that humble statement, because we spent our whole life so exalted. It's not even in your mind that you would be destroyed by your iniquities. And he says, be not angry with me forever. It's not in our mind that Yah is angry with us. And he said, you are the Most High. He said, be not angry with me forever by reserving evil for me, like paying me back for evil, right? Because he knows he's worthy of it. And he says, don't condemn me to the lowest parts of the earth, for you are the Most High, even the God of them that repent. And it's not even in our minds that, you know, the lowest parts of the earth are for those that have this type of behavior. You know, the self-justification is really on another level in this generation. And I like the humility of those type of prayers, you know, that brings you down to the earth and brings you to honor. Yeah, prayer, Manasseh. It's on Google Chrome. Okay, thank you. It's 113. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, Mother Jennifer. When there, number six, I think, yep. When there is always opposition, just because you all really don't have one mind or want to have one mind, if you don't have one mind, how can you truly have one spirit when there's constant opposition?
You know, if you don't have one mind, it is impossible to have one spirit. And so you need to make sure that the goal, you know, the goal is that we need to be able to share the same mind as Yah. It shouldn't be a thing where I need to share the same mind as this sister. It needs to be that, you know, I need to have the mind of Yah. Not my interpretation of what Yah thinks. No, I need to have the mind of Yah. You know, when you're dealing with really having one spirit, you know, you think about David and Jonathan, how the word talked about their souls were knit together. You know, that is one mind and one spirit. And when you look at how the common denominator between Jonathan and David was love. You know, they loved the Most High first, and they could truly love one another. And what we're talking about, Sister Ashley, is all about being humble. It's all about humility. It's all about learning how to love no matter what. Even when you're rejected, you still have to love. You know, even when your idea is rejected, you still have to love. Even when somebody thinks differently from you, you still have to love. You have to resolve in your mind and your heart to love. And just, you know, thinking about one mind and one spirit, when everybody is resolved in their heart to just truly love the Most High and to have His mind and to take off their own mind, but truly have His mind, that is how you get to the point of having one mind and one spirit. Now, it's, you know, when I look at the ministry as a whole, you have those who follow straightway, and then you have those who, you know, may have their own way. They may have their own ideas. They may have their own thoughts. But instead of looking at those who may be contrary, think about yourself. Humble yourself and think about yourself and what you can do to have the same mind and the same spirit that straightway follows as they follow after Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to combine the next two thoughts she has, the next two questions all in one, and I'll repeat it if necessary. But she says, I've been repeatedly unrighteous and not really knowing how to deal with this type of situation, most of the times failing due to her rejection. She also says she supposes there may be immaturity and selfishness involved. Because she has been rejected, she also rejects. So how does she work around those factors? Mother Jennifer, they are immaturity, selfishness, and rejection.
Sister Ashley, when you put yourself in a position to have relationships with women, you have to resolve in your heart that, okay, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be hurt. But it's going to be okay because there's an end result. I think a lot of women have this unrealistic expectation that relationships are going to be easy, you know, and we think, I'll finally have somebody to love me. No, it should be, I will have somebody that I can love that I can show that I love them. Instead of having expectations for the other person, you need to raise the standard and raise the expectation for yourself. And I think when you do that, you learn how to be mature. It's just kind of sometimes, you know, it's like having children. When you have children, you know that as a parent, you have to be the one that is the mature one, the one that's the responsible one, because children aren't always going to know how to reciprocate love at all. So you have to be the example. You have to show them. And there are some women who have been so hurt, so broken, they need a big sister. You know, they may need a mama figure in their life because they didn't have that. So somebody has to put themselves in a position. Like Elder always says, who's going to love Yah enough, you know, and fill in the blank. Who's going to love Yah enough to really build strong relationships with other women? Who's going to love Yah enough to not just disconnect from another woman because you're offended? You know, who's going to love Yah enough to keep that relationship when it gets tough? Who's going to love Yah enough to do whatever it takes to just stay in that relationship no matter what so that you can show what love really is? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Last question. What happens when women really don't want to acknowledge each other's presence and talk around one another when they're in front of each other? Give me a second. I actually have hold on a second. I have a message. She said, when I say talk around one another, it would be in front of others, virtually talking to everyone else, but ignoring each other. That's what she really means. So now that we have clarity, and thank you for that, in the presence of these two women, they're not talking, but everyone else is talking to you or to them. They're ignoring each other probably time and time and time again, right? Nothing to say, but... Jennifer, add to it. Give us an answer, please.
So if you're in a large group or a group of women and everybody's talking except for the two of you, you know, you include her in the conversation. You know, you reach out, make yourself available to conversate. If you just let it go and you just say, okay, well, this is just the norm because we just don't talk, that is accepting the fact that, you know, you're rejecting her. You're making those accusations true. But you have to be the mature one. If it's in a situation where, I'm glad she clarified it because I thought it was a situation where, you know, it's just the two of them together and maybe they didn't have anything to talk about and they were both quiet, that's fine. But, you know, if there's a situation where literally everybody's involved in the conversation and the two of you can't interact, you have to ask yourself, okay, what is it in my heart that is hindering me from interacting with this sister? I can interact with everybody else except for this one. So what is it in my heart that is hindering me? And then learn how to move past that, whatever that is. If it's unforgiveness, if it's bitterness, whatever it is, if there's accusations, whatever, move past that and just reach out and say something. You know, you'd be amazed at how far that'll actually go. But like Pastor said, we're so caught up on, you know, us and what we've been through. We've been injured. We've been slighted. We've been taken advantage of. And then we justify ourselves. Well, I'm not going to talk to her because I know she's going to reject me tomorrow. So I'm not going to say nothing today. That's not the way to think. You have to learn how to be the mature one. Sister Ashley?
I can imagine if a man has endured this conversation, they just shake their heads like, this is the stuff that goes on, really? You know what I mean? This is just not how it goes down amongst the men. Like, there's just a lot of things we got to let go, a lot of ways, a lot of offenses. We pay close attention to way too much. I probably offended hundreds of people not even knowing just because I didn't speak or hug or, you know, whatever your expectation was in that moment, you know. And that's really, can we just say women are wicked, you know? We really are because we're weaker and we're just susceptible to every voice put inside of our minds. And when you get the strength of the Ruach inside of you cultivated in such a way, I'm talking about day in, day out, it's your leading, guiding force, and it's your strength. you know. Obviously, you know, being a married woman too and getting the mind of your husband, but that rules you and it governs you and it guides you. Hallelujah. We got about, less than 20 minutes left in the show. Let's go to the original email that I asked you earlier on. Mother Jennifer, it's my turn. I'm ready when you are.
Yes, ma'am. First question, it says, can you explain how you learned how to honor? How did you learn how to honor the man of Yah in a world that embraces feminism? Sister Ashley?
All right. How did I learn how to honor? By hypocrisy and dishonor. Being self-exalted above those who I was not like. That's a good concrete manifestation of dishonor when you are self-exalted above those who you are not like. You are self-exalted above those who do something different. How I learned to honor, I'm going to give an example because that's what we like, right, especially those sisters who are really in the grind and in the war and in the fight to love one another, in the communities, et cetera. You got the names of the people you're trying to fight to love, right? You got the names of the people that you're dishonoring. You got the names of the people that have dishonored you. Well, I got that too. And I did not honor Tomoko when I moved here. I didn't speak to her much. I didn't give her time. I didn't do anything for her, really. I don't remember helping her. I don't remember serving her. I remember being critical. I have a lot of things in my mind that a lot of mistakes that I made, and I was never, never dishonored by her. And I think if I say names, it's more impactful because I was coming into a circumstance, a situation of people who had already had their grind. If you saw the example on Shabbat, were they here, maybe 7 years or so before me? And then me, 15, 16 years before some of you or whatever. And so early on, there's a lot of hypocrisy. Why? Because you choose who you want to honor, and you choose who you want to flatter, and you choose who you want to show face to, and then you don't anyone else outside that box. That's America. And I came that way. So I learned honor by having it given to me first. As the word says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yah, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yah. One of the things freely given to me was another man and another woman's honor, way before I produced it. Also, 2 Peter 1:16 says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I wasn't just walking into a fable, like a fairy tale, some land, right, that doesn't really exist. We're just faking it. No, I was really walking into, as he says, we were made known the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're actually eyewitnesses of his majesty. I am an eyewitness of the Most High's majesty. And it says that he received, keyword, received from the Most High, the Father, honor and glory. And so I received. That's how I learned honor. I received it. And it was nothing that I was worthy of. I was given honor first by Yah, by the gift of his spirit, by the many things that I cried out for, by the healings, all the things that you're constantly receiving, that your spirit is literally magnetizing and grabbing a hold of while your flesh is murmuring, and your spirit still got its hand out and still being filled continually. As the Most High Yah says, we are a people that are gainsaying, like literally just constantly, more and more, more and more, more, me, 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 me. That's all we pray, that's all we think, right? And he's all day long got a hand outstretched to us, giving and giving and giving. That was a huge mind break for me. A life changer for me to receive. It was very humbling. And when I received and understood receiving, I then had to produce honor. I got a clip, Mother Jennifer. Let me go there real quick. It's really short. It's our shepherd.
That's why the Most High y'all came down hard on him. Because he showed more honor to his wicked sons than he did to the one. Who was above the high priest? Yah. You get it. And this is what this generation don't know today, because it hasn't been taught to you at home. It hasn't been taught to you in school. It has not been taught to you by the public. Nobody has set you down and showed you the way that your conduct and your behavior is supposed to be. It is just assumed based on the geographical locations and the different types of neighborhoods we've all had different influences and experiences from. So when you come here, you end up learning the way. It's not for us to learn you. It's for you to learn us.
One more clip.
Because every single one of them up here have that work ethic.
Oh, hold on. They're
dropping off now, ain't
they? Hold on.
When I said that back then, she was just thinking, you know how some of y'all make promises to your wives you don't ever keep them? They just said, oh, he's just talking. He's just being sweet. Look at it, Dean. This is a picture of depression.
Here it comes. She asked about, you know,
are y'all learning anything yet?
Learning how to honor the man of Yah.
So, and then all of these people, even though I'm not older than a lot of them, or half of them, are you following me? All of them honor me simply because I'm the man of Yah. Hold on. Not only do they honor me simply because I'm a man of Yah, but they also honor me for my work ethic.
There you go. Couldn't have said it better. That's my answer. Simply learned how to honor him because he's the man of Yah and his work ethic. I don't think I would have came in with any desires to follow him if he was shady at all. I wouldn't have listened. You know, I'm very, very serious about that. It was very hard. I was very hardened by life and the world and my relationships and the things that had been so-called done unto me. And I would not have been a vessel of honor or produced honor without him being who he is. Now, with that said, once you learn how to produce honor for the man of Yah, then you learn how to make that honor never waver. There's no amount of, questioning or misunderstanding or doubts. What did my husband say when he was in Goshen? Even when I've been scared. Didn't even know which way Pastor was going. Like, I don't have a clue where you're taking us, what's going on. Don't think for a second you ain't going to be shaken as a community. And she ain't going to be tried. You see, that's why those people standing up there that have literally been unmovable, that's why they deserve honor, because you know how hard our oppressor would press against us to smite the shepherd and scatter us, even in the beginning, because he knew you were coming? I mean, this has been a ride, an unbelievable ride. Constant affliction and something coming up either daily or weekly that's just a suffering like you would never know. Dishonor didn't come in until 2010. There was no flattery or dishonor that I remember. I came into a small core group of people that were really just determined to be with one another, and flattery was 2010 and after. It was not a community thing. And so I came into, you know, people who truly produced honor for one another, loved each other despite all the thousands of differences that we still have. I think I shared just recently on the show when Brother Rich had pulled up in the truck. I was walking on the road. It was just weeks ago.
And it really, it choked me up. He said, man, you know, I want to thank you. So I want to thank you for loving my family and being an example all these years and all the changes you've made. And he sent his love to me and my husband's house, and it means a lot. My husband's known him over 20 years, you know. We really are a family, and I've known him over 15, so hallelujah, that's where we're at. And like Pastor said, you do, those core group, there's a few of us, we do got an unspoken honor and a dialogue amongst us. We remember what it was like before the changes, before the growth, before Yah needed to do what he's doing now, you know, before the orphans started trying to run the adoption agency. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Next question. What was the process like? First coming to community, learning to honor each other, learning how to honor women, especially the mothers.
You said it. I'm gonna say it just like you. The process of learning to honor was death, and it was dishonor. You know, you're right until you get it. Pastor said that today on his video too. You're right until you get it. Every single area of your life, you're right until you get it. And when you start catching on to that, you just automatically admit you're wrong and abase yourself by nature. But the question, go back to the question of the process of learning honor, it's a lot of repentance and a lot of fire. It's a lot of humility versus pride, accusation versus truth, boldness versus meekness, self-control, out of control, you know. The process of learning was incredible. It was painful, and there's nothing when you put your, you know, whatever. Some might say you put your helmet on or you put your game face on or whatever you got to do to endure. You know, you set your face like a flint, you won't be moved, you know. Mother Jennifer.
Next question. What does honor look like on a daily basis? Sister Ashley?
It looks like production. It looks like production and not usury, you know, not asking for interest. Well, I gave you this, so, you know, you give me this back, plus 10%, you know. No, honor, what does honor look like on a daily basis? It just looks like production. It really does. It looks like a well-oiled machine. Does everyone got honor? No. Not at all. Do I experience dishonor? I experience great dishonor. But I've given great dishonor in my previous years, too. And I'm not worthy of anything more. Do I experience great honor? Sure. Sure I do. What it looks like for me in the mind that I try to keep is when John spoke and said, there come one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. And if you got that mindset, that someone really is greater and deserving, you know, you're not going to overspeak, you know, in the wrong setting around wisdom. You know, you're not going to make those foolish mistakes and make those dishonorable mistakes. Remember, I remind you, though, you can't walk before you crawl. So these are seasoned answers. But Revelation 5 says, and this is in my mind, he saw, okay, and he saw in a vision, he saw in prayer, and I understand that dynamic because it has happened to me. So he saw at the right hand of the throne of Yah a book, okay? And this book was sealed. And he sees a really strong angel proclaiming who's worthy to open this book, okay? And this was silent to everybody. As much pride as we got in us, you reflect on stuff like this. This will produce honor out of you because no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, it's written in Revelation, was able to open this book. Nobody was even able to look on it. You can't even put your face in these pages. Like, who do you really think you are? You know? And so John's like, he's seeing this in prayer, and he's weeping and weeping and weeping. And there was no man. I mean, they're legitimately looking. Angels are looking. There's no man worthy to open and read this book. That's incredible, right, Sammy? Yeah, that eliminates me and you. You know that, right? It really does. And so one of the elders looks over to John in this vision and says, don't weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has prevailed to open this book. He will be able to loose the seven seals. And so he looks, and in the midst of the throne and these four beasts and this beauty, that this heavenly vision that he's never, of course, it's not on earth, not a display for us to see, there stands a lamb that's been slain. Right? And so that right there, those type of verses really humble you, you know, and get you to a place where you can be a vessel of honor and produce honor. So for me, a process, or what does it look like on a daily basis to, what does honor look like on a daily basis? It does not eliminate the fact that dishonor continually happens, you know, but most definitely when dishonor is given to you, it doesn't sway your honor. That's your end game. That's your goal. Now, Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Next question. If you live off land, how do you learn how to honor the land, the people who live on the land, and yourself? Sister Ashley?
Ooh, that's a good question. I actually, I'll answer it, but at the same time, I don't quite know if it'll ever manifest. I don't know, because I don't know the hearts of men like Yah does, but how to honor is you actually don't judge, and you keep silent about things that you don't quite understand, and you lay no stumble block by your judgments, like it says in 1 Corinthians. Release, I speak to your shame. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them who are least esteemed in the church to judge. Just like move yourself out of the way, please. Please get out of the judgment seat. Let somebody else, you know, let somebody least esteemed come on up and judge, right? So I think, you know, Satan really plays hard on the minds of those who don't live community, and he's really going to come at you in a way to you know, keep you distanced, keep you isolated, keep you separated, keep you misunderstanding, keep you accusing. You know, and I definitely don't mean it to sound negative at all, because we have great offlanders and with excellent growth, and the spirit of Yah is upon them. But I just know, you know, the enemy and how he works. It's a lot of, you know, it's like everybody who comes around me, this is my life. I was just sharing this with a sister the other day. Everybody who comes around honors for a week or so, or they honor for a feast or two. And they move around, then you get the opportunity to dishonor, because something happens to your flattery and your so-called honor that you thought you had. And people exalt me and you, Mother Jennifer, because they hear us on the show. They ought not, but they do. And then they're shown how faulty that honor is by a few weeks or days or months living around me. And then they bring me down. They forget my experience. They forget my wisdom. They forget what Mother Jennifer's been through. And then you dishonor me. And I live it time and time and time again, and I don't say it for a pity party. It's just the amount of dishonor that you actually receive in the faith will create you, will make you more like Christ in your honor. And so, you know, Pastor said it great in the message when he said, you know, they're deserving of honor. Why? Because they also have experienced great dishonor, you know, really. Experienced a lot of pain, a lot of judgments, a lot of murmurs, a lot of rumors, man. I mean, they've just excelled. Like none of us signed up for that part of it, right? It's just part of the package. But truly, let us therefore not judge one another anymore. That's what the word says. Well, Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Next question. How can you teach honor to your children? Sister Ashley?
How can you teach honor to your children? Sammy around me and the children all the time, do I teach honor?
Yes.
Okay. She says yes. All right. She's a witness. This is what I try to do. These are like concrete examples, okay? I'm going to try to rattle off some that might come to my mind. I really, really do believe, I mean, with all my soul and with all my heart, I believe in honoring every man. And every man's child might have different limitations. I've talked about this on the show before. Every man, when he's not around, I want to reverence that man's home and that man's child to the utmost. I'm really terrified if I don't. I'm serious, y'all. So I'll give you an example, like children eat different. And so if a child eats different, whether by just a preference of their father or for any reason, for any fasting reason or whatever, we all gonna eat that way. I'm gonna serve you my best, my fruit, my nuts, my dried fruit, whatever. This is what we're gonna snack on today. Why? Because you're here. And I'm not gonna tell everybody and tell every child why. I'm just honoring you, you know. If your child can't watch something, can't do something, even that my child can per deacon's rules, then we're not gonna do it. And another thing is swiftly catching the dishonor that a child has for one another, catching it and having them reenact it and repeat it and do it over. Like, okay, wait, that's not right. What would you say now? How would you speak to him again? Let's play this over, right? So you're like coaching their mannerisms. I also try to get I and me and the big I out of their speech, for example, when they're all together. And I have a lot of children. I mean, today I have 6. Sometimes I have 9. I've had 12. I mean, most of the time, 4 days out of the week, I got a house full of children, and it's an honor. It's my love. My sister, Arshayla called the Kool-Aid house, and, of course, she means that, you know, y'all know what that means. Anybody who's been in the project, she just laughed, right? The Kool-Aid house. But I have a very beautiful home. It's very large. It's large enough for all the children, and I have an us and a we mindset. And so I'll give you an example. Today, one of the children was like, oh, man, everybody drank all the drink, right? What was the drink? Marshayla's, what was that? Pineapple, mango, something. Yeah. I don't know. Something for dinner. Oh, man, everybody took the drink, right? Drank all the drink. But you're holding the cup that you was first partaker of. Like you drank it, right? So when you catch those type of things, I say, wait, who drank it? Who drank all the drink? You said everybody. Who's everybody? And he stared at his cup. He's like, we. You know, I was like, yeah, we. We all got it. You don't need another cup of this pineapple drink, you know. Asking them to hold the door for old people, because children, like, still to this day, don't worry. If I tell you all these things, it does not mean you're going to see them apply it, especially out of my presence 100% of the time. But there's just a list of thousands of things that we talk about and discuss and do for one another as we train them in the Kool-Aid house. And so you hold the door, and as a child, what does a child do? Run right in front of you every time, because you open the door for them, right? They're little, I can't reach the knob or whatever, or I'm in a hurry, and boom, out the door. And so I at times, not every time, I try. If I catch it, I'm right there, I'll back them up. Whoa, 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 back up. You hold the doorknob. Switch with Grandma Vicky or whoever, and let's get her out the door first, you know. And I can't do it every time. Another thing I teach them is come in the door at once, right? So we gather at the door. We wait on everybody to open the door once. Why? Pastor hates flies. Deacon Bell hates flies. Mama Nelly hates flies. Are you letting 1,000 flies come in this facility? Because one child, 10 door slams later, you know. And I'm right by the dining hall door, so I'm absolutely perfect for shut the door, right? I'm constantly, just a couple more things, I'll move through it, but I like to teach them everybody's job. So if we're going into breakfast, who cooked today? I don't know, right? You tell them who cooked. You tell them what time they got up. You tell them what they're, you know, what we're having and what that whole process is like. And Sarah had to get the eggs. You know, and JC did this, and, you know, trying to really speak about the body to them to get their minds into how many people actually have benefited them. I'm not going to say that you see the results immediately, but you're still just pouring into them, you know, who cooked today and what time she got up, et cetera, but, trying to give them a better life than we ever had, and most definitely trying to honor my people when my people aren't around. When I got a bunch of children, I'm trying to honor all the adults on the land through those children. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Next question, Sister Ashley. How are we expected to honor the ministry's name? Sister Ashley.
How are we expected to honor the ministry's name? Hallelujah. Wow, did I go past 2 hours? I'm going to try to make it short.
Hebrews 6, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Right? It's about your perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance with dead works, having start over. But literally, tasting and seeing that Yah is good, not falling away, seeing that they, and those who do, crucify themselves and the Son of God afresh. They put him to an open shame over and over. And so when you are a vessel of this ministry, sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will have no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed when you cut a fool or something happened to you. You got an alt with another sister, even the relationship that we just discussed in the email, that has absolutely nothing to do with us. You know, you got people coming and saying, I got fat because I came the straight way. You know, I got to say that. It's like, no, you came here and you faced your demons and you had an opportunity for freedom and you kicked. You know, it's a lot of blame. But, hey, in all things, as ministers of the Most High Yah, in patience, in affliction, in necessity, in distress, don't blame us, don't blame me, don't blame the show, right? And by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering and kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, that's what the word says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, let there be no evil report of you. You know, let everyone say she's striving. You fall. And it's not even about that. You get shamed, it's not about that. You get rebuked, it's not about that. Let everyone see you strive, you know. Honor the ministry's name for who we actually represent. I want to say this lastly, Mother Jennifer. Straightway ministry name means nothing to me. It's an association that I live for and I would die for, but it's not my all in all. We came together, but pastors say, we were the house of prayer. The Church of Jesus Christ, House of Prayer. That's who we were before Straightway had a label, which is beautiful, a symbol, which is beautiful, and a ministry, which is beautiful. So we could change title over and over again. We could go from purple to red, you know, change color, all that. It's about Jesus. Live or die with Jesus. Praise Yah. He's the reason that we are honored amongst ourselves. He's the reason we produce, right? He's definitely the reason why we live, move, and breathe. I'm done. I talked a lot. I pray that you guys can take our experience and really apply it for your lives. If you do, it's an honor to me and an honor to Mother Jennifer if you've ever taken something from this show and applied it. And it's not even about her and I. Most definitely it's not. It's about all our years of experience and those who have poured into us. We're simply just, what they say, paying it forward. You know, literally just paying it forward. I freely receive, Mother Jennifer, in the show.
If thou be among great men, make not thyself equal with them. And when ancient men are in place, use not many words. Shalom.
Full of compassion, it's no too late to make it. You've been good to me. Forgive me, show me much mercy, and that's why I'm saying, I'm part of creation, was made to sing, bless you, speaking in glory, your kingdom, yes, we'll defend it, thank you, you're singing to do it through our generations, give our creation and we can see now, I'll photo righteous forever, thank you.